friend, have you ever felt like David, when David would say, God, why do you even take thought of me? What is man? Who am I, God, that you're even mindful, that you would give me a second consideration? Or what about the prodigal son who took his inheritance, squandered it in a distant land? It says it came to him that he had sinned against heaven, and he was going to go back to his father and explain, now that he had come to his senses, the Bible said, that he would be better off to be a servant in his father's home, though he didn't feel that he was worthy to be a son. And if we look at this and other passages in the Word of God, and if we are genuine in confronting our own sinful nature, not just our sins, but our own sinful nature, then we realize that we had no hope of heaven. And you know what, my friend? Though that might be a depressing thought in the natural, it is one of the most encouraging thoughts ever, that you and I, who had no hope, have now been made right with God. Look at what happened in the account of the prodigal son. The father ran to meet the son. Did he ever stop being the son in that distant land? No, but he sure broke fellowship with him, didn't he? My friend, when you and I feel like David, God, why would you love me? How could you possibly love me? We've got to remember this. His love goes beyond our understanding, and it goes beyond our sin. He has already provided for you fully, knowing your sin, knowing my sin, which we only know a very tiny part of. Certainly it seems great to us, and it should, because God does not take sin lightly. But you know what, my friend? We need to recognize that he's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. When we come to him and confess it, not trying to hide it, he who shuts up sin in his life, that man, it says it's going to be like a sickness in his bones. See, there's a very great hope, my friend. There's a great hope in Christ. And if you have been struggling with a crisis, or you've been struggling with sin, if you've been struggling with decisions, here's what we know. Seeking God opens us up to his divine revelation. Coming after him with a whole heart puts us in a steadfast place, in the sense that we know that though we fail, we will get up again. Though we are cast headlong, we will not utterly stay down. The Bible says that God is able to do abundantly more than you can ask or even think, my friend. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And what else does it say? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory. The Bible goes on to say, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Can I keep going for you? Do you just see what it's like to get into these powerful promises of God? That it's true for all who trust him to do this, no matter what our sins and our course. We recognize that the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. My friend, God will perfect that which concerns you. He's not a respecter of men. Think of it. He didn't love Peter, James, and John more than he loves you, more than he loves me. He is seeking fellowship with us. And strange as it may seem, one of the moments that our heart is most tender to God is when we come to that abrupt realization in our sinful ways that we have no hope for heaven except through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Such is the glory and wonder of our God and Savior. We can be confident of this very thing, that which he hath begun in us, that good work, he's going to perform it, my friend, until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? You see, God saved you. You didn't save yourself. And God is perfecting you. You can't perfect yourself, neither can I. We abide in him. His word abides in us. We surrender to him. We humble ourselves before him, and his promise is he will exalt us in due season. He will transform us. Listen to that one promise again. He is able. He is able to do abundantly more than you can ask or than you can even think. Heavenly Father, what a grand and glorious promise that is. I receive that from you today. I thank you for that promise, and I pray that will be received by my friend listening in today, that in her life, in his life, God, that we would bask in your victory. Know that we would not take that as a license to go sin and live however we want, but to rest in the knowledge that you have taken that which is vile in our lives. You have paid for it with your own precious blood. You have made all things new. Behold, the old is gone, all has been made new, and we now walk in the newness of life. And with Paul, we too can say, we who are in Christ can say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. To you be the glory, God. We thank you for this truth. In Jesus' name, amen.